ಬಿಹಾರೀ ಗೋಪಿ ಜನ ವಲ್ಲಭ ಗಿರಿ ವರಧಾರಿ ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಶ್ರೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ಕೀ ಜಯ. ಜಯ ಓಂ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪಾದ ಪರಮಹಂಸ ಪರಿವ್ರಾಜಕಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಅಷ್ಟೋತ್ತರ ಸತ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀಮನ್ ಭಕ್ತಿ ಸಿದ್ಧಾಂತ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ಠಾಕುರ್ ಶ್ರೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ಕೀ ಜಯ. ಅನಂತ ಕೋಟಿ ವೈಷ್ಣವ ವೃಂದ ಕೀ ಜಯ. ಗ್ರಂಥರಾಜ್ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ ಕೀ ಜಯ. ಸಮವೇತ ಗೌರ ಭಕ್ತ ವೃಂದ ಕೀ ಜಯ. ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಸ್ ಟು ಅಸೆಂಬಲ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ. ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಸ್ ಟು ಅಸೆಂಬಲ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ. ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಸ್ ಟು ಅಸೆಂಬಲ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ. ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಸ್ ಟು ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರು ಅಂಡ್ ಗೌರಾಂಗ. ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಸ್ ಟು ಯೂ ಶ್ರೀ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ. ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ.
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 So I think text 33 was covered yesterday, and since text 34 doesn't have a purport, we quickly read 34 and then go to 35. So this is Canto 5, Chapter 1, entitled The Activities of Maharaj Priyavrata, text 34 and 35. So the translation of 34 is King Priyavrata then gave his daughter Urjaswati in marriage to Shukracharya, who begot in her a daughter named Devayani. Text 35. Naivam vida purushakara urukramasya.
Naivam vida purushakara urukramasya.
Pumsam tadangri rajasajita sadgunanam.
Pumsam tadangri rajasajita sadgunanam.
Chitram vidura vigatah sakritadatita.
Chitram vidura vigatah sakritadatita.
Chitram vidura vigatah sakritadatita.
Chitram vidura vigatah sakritadatita.
Yannamadheya madhuna sajahati bandham. ಯನ್ನಾಮಧೇಯಮಧುನಾ ಸಜಹಾತಿ ಬಂಧಂ. ನ Naivam vidah purushakara urukramasya.
Naivam vidah purushakara urukramasya.
Umsam tadangri rajasajita sadgunanam.
Umsam tadangri rajasajita sadgunanam.
Chitram vidura vigatah sakrit adadita.
Chitram vidura vigatah sakrit adadita.
Yannamadheya madhuna sajahati bandham.
Yannamadheya madhuna sajahati bandham.
Please chant.
Naivam vidah purushakara rurukramasya.
Naivam vidah purushakara rurukramasya.
Umsham tad angri rajasa jita sadgunanam.
Umsham tad angri rajasa jita sadgunanam.
Chitram vidura vigata sakrit adadita.
Chitram vidura vigata sakrit adadita.
Yan namadeyam aduna sajahati bandham.
Yan namadeyam aduna sajahati bandham.
Naivam vidah purushakara urukramasya.
Pumsam tadangri rajasa jita sadgunanam.
Chitram
vidura vigata sakrit adadita.
Naivam vidah purushakara urukramasya.
Umsam
tadangri rajasa jita sadgunanam.
Chitram vidura vigata sakrit adadita.
Chitram vidura vigata sakrit adadita.
Yannamadeham adhuna sajahati bandham.
Yannamadeham adhuna
sajahati bandham.
Vaishnavis, please.
Naivam vidah purushakara urukramasya.
Umsam tadangri rajasa jita sadgunanam.
Chitram vidura vigata sakrit adadita.
Yannamadheya madhuna sajahati bandham. Not. Evam vidaha.
Evam vidaha.
Like that.
Like that.
Purushakaraha.
Purushakaraha.
Personal influence.
Personal influence.
Urukramasya.
Urukramasya.
Of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Pumsam.
Pumsam.
Of the devotees.
Of the devotees.
Tat angri.
Tat angri.
Of his lotus feet.
Of his lotus feet.
Rajasa.
Rajasa.
By the dust.
By the dust.
Jita sadgunanam.
Jita sadgunanam.
Who have conquered the influence of the six kinds of material whips.
Who have conquered the influence of the six kinds of material whips.
Chitram.
Chitram.
Wonderful.
Wonderful.
Vidura vigataha.
Vidura vigataha.
The fifth great person.
The fifth great person.
Or the untouchable.
The untouchable.
Sakrit. Only once.
Only once.
Adadita.
Adadita.
If he utters.
If he utters.
Yat.
Yat.
Whose.
Whose.
Namadheyam.
Namadheyam.
Holy name.
Holy name.
Adhuna.
Adhuna.
Immediately.
Immediately.
Saha.
Saha. he
jahati,
jahati
gives up,
gives up.
Bandham
material bondage.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Translation. My dear King, a devotee who has taken shelter of the dust from the lotus feet of the Lord can transcend the influence of the six material whips, namely hunger, thirst, lamentation, illusion, old age, and death. And he can conquer the mind and the five senses. However, this is not very wonderful for a pure devotee of the Lord, because even a person beyond the jurisdiction of the four castes, in other words, an untouchable, is immediately relieved of bondage to material existence if he utters the holy name of the Lord even once. Purport by His Divine Grace. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Sukadev Goswami was speaking to Maharaj Parikshit about the activities of King Priyavrata. And since the king might have had doubts about these wonderful uncommon activities, Sukadev Goswami reassured him. My dear king, he said, don't be doubtful about the wonderful activities of Priyavrata. For a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, everything is possible because the Lord is also known as Urukrama. Urukrama is the name of Lord Vamandev, who performed the wonderful act of occupying the three worlds with three footsteps. Lord Vamandev requested three paces of land from Maharaj Bali. And when Maharaj Bali agreed to grant them, the Lord immediately covered the entire world with two steps or footsteps. And for his third step, he placed his foot upon Bali Maharaj's head. Sri Jayadev Goswami says, Chalayasi Vikramane Balim Adbhuta Vamana Pada Nakha Neera Janita Jana Pavana Keshava Drita Vamana Rupa Jaya Jagadisha Hare. All glories to Lord Keshava, who assumed the form of a dwarf. O Lord of the universe, who takes away everything inauspicious for the devotees. O wonderful Vamana, you tricked the great demon Bali Maharaj by your steps. The water that touched the nails of your lotus feet, when you pierce through the covering of the universe, purifies all living entities in the form of the river Ganga or Ganges. Since the Supreme Lord is all-powerful, he can do things that seem wonderful for the common man. Similarly, a devotee who has taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord can also do wonderful things unimaginable to a common man by the grace of the dust of those lotus feet. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore teaches us to take shelter of the Lord's lotus feet. Ai nanda tanuja kinkaram patitam mam vishame bhavambudau kripayata vapada pankaja sthita dhuli sadrushim vichintaya. O son of Maharaj Nanda, I am your eternal servant. Yet somehow or other I have fallen into the ocean of birth and death. Please pick me up from this ocean of death and place me as one of the atoms to your lotus feet. Lord Chaitanya teaches us to come in touch with the dust of the Lord's lotus feet, for then there will undoubtedly be all success. Because of the material body, every living entity in material existence is always disturbed by shat guna, six whips, hunger, thirst, lamentation, illusion, invalidity, and death. Furthermore, another shat guna are the mind and the five sense organs. Not to speak of a sanctified devotee, even a chandala, an outcast, who is untouchable, is immediately freed from material bondage if he utters the holy name of the Lord even once. Sometimes caste brahmanas argue that unless one changes his body, he cannot be accepted as a brahmana. For since the present body is obtained as a result of past actions, one who has in the past acted as a brahmana takes birth in a brahmana family. Therefore, they contend, without such a brahmanical body, one cannot be accepted as a brahmana. Herein it is said, however, that even a vidura vigata, a chandala, a fifth class untouchable, is freed if he utters the holy name even once. Being freed means that he immediately changes his body. Sanatan Goswami confirms this. Yatha kanchanatam yati kamsham rasa vidhanataha tatha diksha vidhanena dvijatvam jayate nranam. When a person, even though a chandala, is initiated by a pure devotee into the chanting of the holy names of the Lord, his body changes as he follows the instructions of the spiritual master. Although one cannot see how his body has changed, we must accept on the grounds of the authoritative statements of the Shastras that he changes his body. This is to be understood without arguments. This verse clearly says, Sa jahati bandham. He gives up his material bondage. The body is a symbolic representation of the material bondage according to one's karma. Although sometimes we cannot see the gross body changing, chanting the holy names of the Supreme Lord immediately changes the subtle body. And because the subtle body changes, the living entity is immediately freed from material bondage. After all, changes of the gross body are conducted by the subtle body. After the destruction of the gross body, the subtle body takes the living entity from its present gross body to another. In the subtle body, the mind is predominant, and therefore, if one's mind is always absorbed in remembering the activities of the lotus feet of the Lord, or the lotus feet of the Lord, he is to be understood to have already changed his present body and become purified. Therefore, it is irrefutable that a chandala or any fallen or low-born person can become a brahmana simply by the method of bona fide initiation. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Bandeham Sri Guru Sri Yutapadakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Rabunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhan Vitamscha Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna.
First of all, I'm very happy to be here amongst all of you today. It was a wonderful Saturday morning Bhagavatam class. To start with, I request all the assembled Vaishnavas to kindly pray and bless me so that the right words come out in the right spirit and the endeavor pleases Guru and Krishna. So we are continuing our reading of the first chapter of the fifth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And till now, we are discussing the wonderful activities of Maharaj Priyavrata. In this long but excellent purport of Srila Prabhupada, there are wonderful points, and covering all of that in the next 30 minutes, it's very difficult. But we'll touch on a few points that Prabhupada makes in the purport, and let's see how time permits us. So in the pastime of Bali Maharaj, we know this very famous story that in the Dasha Avatar, how Sri Krishna or Keshava appears as Vamandev and comes as a nice brahmachari brahmana boy, as a dwarf, and he tricks Maharaj Bali. Maharaj Bali, who happens to be a descendant of Prahlad Maharaj, it's a very exciting line. If you see, you have Hiranyaksha and you have his brother Hiranyakashipu, all big, powerful Rakshasas who want to conquer the world and become Vishnus. And they get this excellent son, Prahlad. And Prahlad has a wonderful son, Virochan. And then his son is Maharaj Bali. So Maharaj Bali, although he comes in this so-called Rakshasa line, by his qualities and by his character, is a Param Vaishnav. Prabhupada quotes this verse often, where he names the 12 Mahajans. Swayambhu, Narada, Shambhu, Kumara, Kapila, Manu, Prahlada, Janaka, Bhishma, Bali, Vyasakhi, Vayam. So you find Maharaj Bali to be one of the 12 Mahajans. Why? Was it because he appeared in this Rakshasa line? No. He did something which was excellent. Even now in the northern part of India, whenever you do a charity, you know, some sacrifice, you give some charity to Brahmanas, they tie this thread in your wrist and they chant this mantra, Danavendra Mahabali. Just like Bali Maharaj offered everything to Vamandev, we are happy that you're following the footsteps. When we give examples of different Vaishnavas, Shravanam, people who perfected their lives through hearing. Any examples who perfected their lives through hearing? Well, did he hear? Maharaj Parikshit. Perfect. Perfect. Then the next thing is Kirtanam, who perfected by chanting or by narrating.
Dhruva Maharaj.
Sukadeva Goswami. So in that line, the final process of Atmanivedanam, what's the most common example of somebody who surrendered his very life to the Lord? Who's that devotee who surrendered everything to Krishna? Bali Maharaj. Of course, there are many devotees, including the Brajavasis. But always, the example of Maharaj Bali is given. Maharaj Bali was the disciple of Shukracharya, who happens to be a very powerful guru of the Daityas. And there are very beautiful pastimes in the scriptures, how one time all the demons were killed and many of them were wounded. The hands and legs were cut off. And Shukracharya just chanted mantras and touched holy water and revived all their lives back. It's very powerful. Sometimes he's even compared to be as powerful as Durvasa Muni. And we know how powerful he is. People fear Durvasa. And so the feeling continues. Shukracharya was like that, a terror. And Bali Maharaj was his disciple. And the duty of a perfect spiritual master is to be completely transparent, carrying the message of Sri Krishna as it is. Just like Krishna or the spiritual, the Supreme Lord, he speaks and he carries it down to the disciple. Now when Krishna appeared as Vamandev, he asked this charity, I'm a Brahmana, please offer some alms. Can you offer something? So Bali Maharaj said, go ahead, make your call. What is the thing that I can offer you? He said, nothing much. Just give me 3 steps of land. Now Bali Maharaj was really shocked because Vamandev appears as a dwarf. For a full-grown man also, how long is the feet? The sole of the feet is like... Now Vamandev appears as a dwarf. Half the size. And he asks for 3 steps of land. Bali Maharaj says, ask something more. Go ahead. Make a bigger call. He says, no, I'm satisfied. So Bali Maharaj says, okay, as a king, as a grihastha, it's my duty to offer you charity, dakshina. And all these duties of grihastha I will perform. I will give you whatever you want. Shukracharya warned him. He said, don't do that. This is Hari. You might see him as a dwarf, but I see him as Hari. And Hari means he who takes away everything inauspicious. Prabhupada writes in the purport that Shukracharya, in the back of his mind, was thinking that if Vamana takes everything away from Bali, I won't get my dakshina. I'm not going to get what I deserve. Yes? We can have the light switched on. Yes. Because even with all the lights switched on, you find people in the deepest slumber of sleep. You know, like, let the lights be on. If you switch that off, it's like open license. So Bali Maharaj, he offered. And Shukracharya was hindering. And we know this very excellent pastime of how Bali Maharaj even rejected his guru. That guru who doesn't teach you how to surrender to Krishna is meant to be rejected. And then what did he get in return? Vamandev takes two steps, covers the whole creation, then asks Bali Maharaj, you promised me three steps. I covered everything in two. Where am I supposed to keep the third foot? And Bali Maharaj, very humbly, in the 22nd of the chapter of the 8th canto, he bows down before Vamandev and he says, I have given you everything except one thing. That's my very life. And as the third step, I offer myself as an offering. And what does he get in return? Vamandev ties him completely with ropes. Vasuki is used to tie him. And he's insulted in front of everybody. He loses everything. He incurs almost the wrath and the curse of his guru. The king who has everything is now a captive. And all this for being truthful, for being honest. And then Bali Maharaj says, 8.22.4 Bhagavatam, Pumsa slaghyatamam manye dandam arhatam arpitam yanna mata pita prata surida chadi shantihi. He tells Vamandev, I have seen so many instances of mother, father, brothers, well-wishing friends punishing their relatives. But never in history has anyone punished like you do. I have given everything and you've punished me like this. But this purifies because I have faith. You're my ever well-wishing friend. So here Prabhupada quotes this instance saying that just like Vamandev, who's Krishna himself, is called Urukrama. Because he, in the minute form of his 12th incarnation, he conquered everything. What is impossible for Krishna? Prabhupada says, Ano aniyan mahato mahiyan. Krishna is smaller than the smallest, yet larger than the largest. Nityo nityanam chetanas chetananam eko bahunam jo vidadati kaman. Kathopanishad. Krishna is inconceivable. Tvama kinchana gochara, Queen Kunti says. He appears like a young boy, but he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Prabhupada makes this point, quoting Shukadev Goswami in this verse, that if Krishna can do the inconceivable, think about the devotee who holds onto his feet. If you take the dust from the lotus feet of that Krishna who is unlimited, the devotee also becomes inconceivable. He carries this quality of Urukrama. In one class, Prabhupada says that when a son is very faithful, he carries down the property as inheritance of his father. So similarly, a pure devotee who's completely faithful to the eternal Father, he carries down the inherited property of Krishna's qualities. So just like Krishna is inconceivable, unlimited, and he makes the impossible possible, the devotee who follows that footsteps and takes the dust of the lotus feet of Krishna does that. Do we have any examples of pure devotees who did something with things which were inconceivable because they were completely surrendered to Krishna? Do we have examples of devotees like that? Prabhupada. Prabhupada. We are looking all around the place. Look at him. Srila Prabhupada. Everybody said this is impossible. You're an old man. You can't even survive. You can't survive the cold. You can't even reach there. But because Prabhupada had taken the dust from the lotus feet of Krishna, who's Urukrama, just because he followed the footsteps and the instructions of his spiritual master, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he made the impossible possible. No man, no one in any sampradaya, in past, present and future, did what Prabhupada did. They didn't even attempt. They were playing safe, small groups. Oh, let's preach in India, let's preach in South India, let's preach in North India. And Prabhupada went international. And he did it. He really did it. He turned hippies into happies. Whoever thought that's possible? Any other examples of surrendered devotees doing the impossible? Let's think. Let's churn our shastric.
A lot of disciples of Prabhupada.
Yes. Any personalities in the Bhagavatam?
Arjuna.
Yes. In what context? Uh-huh. What was impossible there?
Well, they were outnumbered.
Correct.
A lot of things that
right.
Were
Who would have thought five people can turn over all the Kauravas? But why did they do that? And how could they do that? The same principle from this verse. This verse, Shukadeva Goswami is giving this immortal principle of simply taking the dust from the lotus feet of Krishna and then doing the impossible. Yes, you wanted to
answer? So now, Muni has lots of examples, but one of them is Mrigari, the hunter.
Perfect. Mrigari, the hunter, who was, you know, who used to kill animals just... You know, he was like a vandalistic killer, just going around the park, killing everything half dead. Because he was a sadist. And then Narada Muni, because he was a pure devotee, could convert this Mrigari, the hunter, into a pure Vaishnava. Next time when Mrigari, people saw in the village and approached Mrigari, this Mrigari was hopping around. They asked him, why are you doing that? He said, I can't even kill ants. Krishna is there even in them. Narada Muni could do that. Wonderful examples how that happens. And here, Prabhupada quotes Sanatan Goswami of how initiation is important. When you surrender to a bona fide spiritual master, there's a change in the consciousness. Right? We find that when you take formal diksha, you take our vows, right? And we get the beads from the spiritual master, it's a second birth. And how is that related to this encounter or this very beautiful chapter of Bali Maharaj? It's because Bali Maharaj, he kept his word, even if he has to lose everything. That spirit, when we surrender to Sri Guru, even if chanting the holy name seems to be really troublesome for us in the beginning, we still hold on. Even if the four regulative principles are really difficult to follow, we still hold on as austerity because we have given our word to our spiritual master. And Prabhupada says how this initiation is beyond our birth and our worldly designation. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is a very beautiful verse. Shuchi hai, muchi hai, yadi Krishna tyaje. Muchi hai, shuchi hai, yadi Krishna bhaje. A so-called high caste Brahmin, he is lower than a chandala if he gives up the worship of Krishna. Shuchi means a high class Brahmin. And muchi means a cobbler. Shuchi hai, muchi hai, yadi Krishna tyaje. If he gives up the worship of Krishna, chanting the holy names, then he's as good as a low-born chandal. But muchi hai shuchi hai yadi Krishna bhaje. A low-class, low-born chandala, a fifth grade, vidura vigata, as in this verse. He's higher than the brahmanas. He's a Vaishnava. Yadi Krishna bhaje, if he chants the holy names. So it's nothing to do with worldly designations. Right? It's all beyond that. By chanting the holy names, by hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, the impossible becomes possible. Right? It purifies. Brahman Krishna Katha Punya Madhvi Loka Malapaha Kona Tripyeta Shunvana Shutadnya Nityanutana. Shukadeva Goswami quotes this verse in the beautiful pastime of Rukmini writing to Krishna, you know, requesting him to come and kidnap her. So in that, Shukadeva Goswami says, how by hearing the holy name, by hearing the holy message of Krishna, all the contamination in the heart is cleansed. It doesn't matter where we are born, how we are born, matters what qualities we carry. A doctor's son is never a doctor by birth. A lawyer's son is never a lawyer by birth. He might be in the family of lawyers, but he still has to get a degree. Similarly, irrespective of wherever we are born, if we chant the holy names, take complete shelter of the scriptures, we'll be purified. Any examples of somebody who was really so-called low birth, but became the greatest devotees? The hint is Chaitanya Charitamrita. Let's do some brainstorming. Perfect. Mahaprabhu, look at Mahaprabhu's genius. He made Namacharya Haridas Thakur, somebody who was born in a so-called lower birth, he made him the greatest teacher of the chanting of the holy names. He didn't make somebody who was like a twice-born Brahmana to be, you know, the international or the universal teacher of the holy names. He made Haridas Thakur, who was a Param Vaishnav, but appeared in a so-called low birth. Any other examples?
How about the hunchback woman?
Kubja. Okay, how would you relate that here?
She was low born. She became a pure devotee of Krishna by Krishna touching her.
By Krishna touching her, okay.
She wasn't in a high-class, occupation.
Okay.
Certainly wasn't a Brahmana.
Wonderful. Any other pastime from Chaitanya Charitamrita?
Chintamani.
Go ahead, please. In what context?
Oh, she was a prostitute, she was a social demon, and she was asked by an envious, I think he was like a Muslim, like he wanted that she would tempt Haridas Thakur.
Yes, Chintamani was a yes, go ahead, please.
Yeah. And so she went there for 3 nights,
mm-hmm.
and all the time he would say, hungry. Of course, I would fulfill your desire, just let me finish my hour.
Right.
And she would stay whole night,
right.
open,
right.
To fulfill the desire of the Muslim.
This example of Chintamani, who was a prostitute by profession. And then she became one of the greatest disciples of Haridas Thakur, simply by coming in touch with a devotee and by hearing the holy name. Another very famous example. Yes, please.
Oh, Sugriva was in the Lankis. I mean, he'd made a promise to serve Lord Ramchandra. When Lord Ramchandra came, he was engaged. He was so, he was in kingdom. He forgot his kingdom. He was just enjoying with his wife. And Lord Chaitanya Lord Rama sent Lakshman, and he was enjoying with his wife. And he said, no, wait a minute, forget about it. And then when Lakshman finally got there, he was drunk, passed out after enjoying with his wife. But then he said his quality, he had those qualities, but he was ready to give everything to Lord Rama.
Right. So many examples like this. You know, if you see Hanuman appears in a so-called monkey birth, you know, think about Garuda, appears to be in an eagle body. Think about, Vasuki, you know. Or think about Sampati, who was a vulture, you know. Sugriva, you have people coming in different bodies, but if they embrace Krishna or Bhakti, they become Param Vaishnava. There's one more beautiful story in the Chaitanya Charitamrita which makes this point. There was a person called as Subhudi Roy. He was born in a Brahmin family. And he had a minister called as Nawab Hussain Shah, who later became the king. So Subhudi Roy, he used to train Nawab Hussain Shah. And Nawab Hussain Shah was a small child. And Subhudi Roy, as part of punishment, sometimes used to use the whip on the back of Nawab Hussain Shah. So one time when Nawab Hussain Shah, he was a full-grown man and he was a king, his wife asked him, "What is this whip on the back? This mark, where do you get it from?" Nawab Hussain Shah said, "When I was a child, I was trained by Subhudi Roy. And Subhudi Roy used to hit me on the back to train me. And he was a Brahmana, and I'm a Muslim." So the wife couldn't take it. She said, he must die for his mistake. Now, Nawab Hussain Shah said, no, that is just part of the punishment. So it's okay. She said, no, he has to die. So Nawab Hussain Shah did something which was like killing him, but not killing him. He took water from the pot of a mlecha, and he sprinkled on the head of Subhudi Roy. And the so-called caste Brahmin said, "Subhudi Roy is no longer a Brahmin. He's a low-born chandala." So now Subhudi Roy became very restless. He went everywhere asking, "How can I regain my caste?" Somebody said, "No, it's not possible. You have to kill yourself." The other person said, "You have to boil oil and drink it down your throat." Finally, he couldn't get anything. He went to Mahaprabhu. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Simply embrace the chanting of the holy names. If you chant the holy names, if you serve the Vaishnavas, and you go to Vrindavan, you will not just be a Brahmana, but you will become Param Vaishnav. Don't worry, you don't have to kill yourself. You don't have to drink boiling oil. You don't have to sleep on a bed of thorns. You don't have to pierce anything, needles through your cheeks, as you find people doing all these tantric rites. Not needed. Simply by chanting the holy names, everything is done. Shraddha shabde vishwasa kohe sudrido nishchay Krishna bhakti koile sarva karma krita hoy. The Chaitanya Charitamrita says, simply by chanting the holy names and hearing about Krishna, everything becomes fine. Sarvam karoti nishchidram harer namanu kirtanam. If something goes off track in our life, the holy name puts it back on track. So simple. There's this very beautiful verse that Kapila Muni, he says in 333.7 of the Bhagavatam. He says, "Oh, how glorious are they whose tongues are chanting the holy names. Even if born in the family of dog eaters, such persons are worshipable. Persons who chant the holy name of your lordship must have executed all kinds of austerities and fire sacrifices, and they have achieved all good manners of the Aryans. To be chanting the holy name of your lordship, they must have bathed at the holy places of pilgrimage, studied all the shastras, and fulfilled everything required." I pulled up this verse because it is so relevant to what we are discussing. Simply by chanting, everything is done. We simply have to take to this process. Sometimes if you see in India, people don't believe. Till the time you don't really pull up a 7-hour yajna, you cannot be purified. That's what they think. You tell them you don't have to do all this, simply chant Hare Krishna. No faith. One friend of mine who stays in the villages, he was telling me how when people there, they're illiterate, they go to the doctor. And the doctor says, no, you're just having some flu, you can, you know, drink some hot water, you drink some lime water, you'll be fine. They're not convinced. They feel the doctor's just beating around the bush. They really want an injection. So they say, even if that's okay, you still punch an injection. So till the time you don't really get something big done, you don't think you've done something. They will do all these yajnas, all these tantric rites. You'll call all the so-called caste Brahmins who drink tea and take tobacco outside. But you tell them, just give up all this. Sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam braja. No faith. Therefore, Prabhupada put Nam Sankirtan and book distribution on the top of the list. He said, go out and chant. If they don't have faith, still by hearing the holy name, we create some Sukriti. The Subhuti Roy, he was instructed by Mahaprabhu and he fulfilled that. And he became one of the great examples of Vaishnavas. So we don't have to do anything. There was one person in the Western world whom I was talking to and he said, oh Prabhu, we are fallen, we are born here. You know, we are not born in India. Then we started discussing this and I said, doesn't matter. Prabhupada, he made the impossible possible. When disciples asked Prabhupada, we had no qualification. You gave us the greatest treasure of how to get out of this material existence. What was our qualification? What did we do? And Prabhupada very honestly, yet humbly, said, you had no qualification. I made your qualification. So Prabhupada, for many sadhus, they wait for the innocent to come to them. But Prabhupada, he went out to make qualification. So in this purport we find how three main points are made. One, the fact that Krishna is Urukrama, and if you take shelter of Krishna, you can also do the impossible. The second, of how it doesn't matter where you're born and what you do. If you take shelter of a bona fide guru and follow his instructions, everything will be set as, you know, set properly in the right standards. And the third and the most important thing, the greatest principle to purify ourselves is not taking holy baths, is not doing all these so-called ritualistic activities, but simply humbly accepting the service of Radha Gopi Vallabha, chanting in unison, performing service for the Lord, serving Vaishnavas in a selfless mode, and being non-critical of all the devotees. I just hope that this verse helps me deepen in my spiritual path, and by sharing, purifies all of us and helps us imbibe these principles on our path of pure bhakti. Hare Krishna. We have good 3 to 4 minutes. If there are any questions or comments, you're always welcome.
I have one question. Uh-huh. You mentioned in the very beginning that Hiranyakashipu and his brother
Hiranyaksha
were Rakshasas.
Yeah, Jai Vijay originally, but appearing in the bodies of Rakshasas.
What's the definition of Rakshasas?
Anybody who was acting against the principles of the scriptures and acting against Krishna, at least in that body.
Okay, that would be, I mean, they were definitely that. But I thought the Rakshasas are man-eaters, but maybe it isn't.
Yeah, there are actually many types. Hirata, Hundara, Pulinda, Pulkasha, Abhira, Shumbha, Yavana, Kashadaya, Yene cha papar aparashraya shraya shuddhanti tasmai prabhavishnave namaha. The Bhagavatam describes different kinds of low-born people, of which there's a distinction made of rakshasas, asuras, where Prabhupada makes this point that asura is he who is not asura, which means he who is not a demigod. And rakshasa are more towards cannibals or those who deviate from religious principles. So Prabhupada makes the point that in the material civilization we have so many civilized rakshasas.
So I guess my question is there any example that they were eating human beings?
Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha were really brutal, killing devotees, killing brahmanas, destroying religious, because it is described that Hiranyakashipu, he was so very tormented by the Brahmanas performing yajnas that he sent out his men setting houses ablaze, killing people, uprooting trees. So in the seventh canto, in the first 10 chapters, Prabhupada, many purports, he says that this is demoniac mentality.
Well, there were certainly demons, there were asuras.
Right. But I don't think, in my estimate of examples, they're eating, but killing, definitely, yes.
This is really roughly related, but I do...
Just a minute, Prabhu. Was that something that...
Well, we'll just consider them rakshasas. That's the point.
Asuras, definitely.
Definitely.
Right. Yes, Prabhu.
Kamsa used to... I read somewhere Kamsa used to kill hermits and eat
them. Right. So did Ravana.
Ravana?
Yeah.
Well, that's who he was talking about.
No, he was talking about Hiranyakashipu.
Okay.
So I'm sure of the next two incarnations, but as far as eating in Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, I'm not sure, but killing definitely.
In the next incarnation, they were.
They did, yeah. Ravana, Kumbhakarna, they did. Vibhishan didn't even kill an ant, but these two brothers did. They did.
Kamsa was in the same.
Kamsa killed, I'm not sure of eating.
I'm
sure of Ravana eating.
They used to kill hermits.
Okay.
Kamsa. And of course, the mother of Krishna, what was her name, the demon?
Putana.
Putana.
She did the same.
Killed children and eat.
Right. Kamsena prahira ghora bula putana bala ghatini. Prabhupada, in that purport of that verse in the 10th canto, he says, Putana did. She not just killed babies and infants, she actually ate the flesh. So therefore, Sukadev Goswami describes her as Ghora and Balaghatini. Balaghatini means she who killed, and Ghora means she who actually went on to eat and become a cannibal. So the verse goes like that. Kamsena prahira ghora putana balaghatini. Sukadev Goswami describes. Surpanaka, I'm not sure. I have to. Probably after this class, I'll do a research of which asuras, which asuras actually ate prasadam as?
Yes. What the diet of the asuras?
Right. I have to do a research paper on that. Yes.
It seems to me that they were listening to Ramayana,
uh-huh.
And they said like, then after Rakshasi, Shurpanaksha.
Right.
I think she was a sister of Kumbhakarna.
Yes, she was.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because the eternal association of Lord Jaya and Jaya.
Uh-huh.
She must also appear when they came as Jaya.
Yeah, we'll have to look into the scriptures. Yeah. Right. In Dwapar Yuga, yes. Yes. Treta, she was Surpanaka, and Dwapar, she became Kubja. Yes. Yes, Prabhuji.
Well, you have to excuse my ignorance on all of the stories, but on chanting the name of the Lord,
mm-hmm.
You actually change your body.
Uh-huh.
That is actually the Mind Body Institute at the Massachusetts General
right.
Hospital.
Right.
You know, I was surprised that there's an institute and they are studying
mm-hmm.
the fact that meditation changes even the metabolism of the body. So without going into all of this wonderful thing, you know, this is one of the facts.
Right.
That I really like about the relationship between the Vedas
right.
and you know academic
modern right, absolutely yeah. There are so many such examples of the Srimad Bhagavatam speaking the most excellent truths. It's just that modern science is probably not able to reach up there, and there are many places where they are trying to reach, and it's wonderful to see that combination. Thank you so much,
yeah.
Prabhu. Yes, one last because we're just going a little over time. Yes.
Just on that, I read about the changing of metabolism in Bhakti Yoga. It was research of my father or like Hatha Yoga practitioner, and they were mentioning different like spiritual practitioners and
mm-hmm.
what is their digestion metabolism. And they said, and those who practice in Bhakti Yoga, their digestion is very fast, so they can eat everything. Because they said when you do Hatha Yoga practice pranayama, gradually like your breathing becomes very slow.
Right.
And everything like starts slows down, you know, like your digestion. But you say, but Bhakti Yogis, they can do everything.
Yeah, Prabhupada said, eat as much prasad as possible. That's what we're going to do next now. Let's head to that. Srila Prabhupada ki. Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Gaur Premanande.